Kala in the middle there. He's the program manager of investigation. And over there, we've got Ms. Montana Sevan, who is the program manager of information management and research. Chef, as soon as I work introduction, I just want to express our gratitude and we feel honored to be given an opportunity to present to you our strategic objectives and our budget proposal for the 2009 to 2012 MCF. The committee realizes we go forward that we're faced with a number of challenges, some of which date back to the establishment of the ICT, but despite all the challenges, I want to promise you that we'll hold your own to ensure that our mission of promoting proper police conduct by instilling human rights culture and the respect of law by our police officers is achieved. Chairperson, it cannot be denied, and honorable members, that as a country, we collectively have a very big challenge of restoring the image and integrity of the police, as well as restoring the public confidence in policing in this country. And we as the ICD understand that we are at the forefront of this responsibility, but we have to rely on your support. Your guidance and advice is for us to be able to achieve and deliver this mandate. As it can be seen from our vision and mission statement, we strive to promote proper police conduct that is consistent with the constitution of this country. We have two broad mandates. Chapter 7, Section 53 of the South African Police Service Act mandate us in the ICB to investigate any misconduct or offence committed by a member of the South African Police Service, as well as to investigate any death in police custody as a result of police action. And this mandate, Chapter 7, was later extended to include municipal police services. The second mandate is in respect of domestic violence. The Domestic Violence Act requires us to monitor non-compliance with the Act by the members of the South African Police Service and to submit a report to Parliament on a 6-month basis and to make any recommendations that may regard as necessary to police management for implementation. Our vote, Chairperson, is made up of three programs. The first program is demonstrating, which calls program 1, and program 2 is investigation, and program 3 is information management and research. Programs 2 and 3, Chairperson, deal with the receipt, registering and processing of complaints, as well as investigation of all the complaints as defined in the Act. Proactively, our program 3, Chairperson, also identifies and engages in research projects to establish trends and patterns of incidents contributing to misconduct and deaths caused by members of the South African Police Service. For example, in the past financial year, Chairperson, we conducted two research projects on two worrying aspects. One it was on custody management, and the second one is death involving police action. And Chairperson, our strategic priorities for the 2009-2012 MCF cycle are as follows. One is the establishment of 22 satellite offices all over the country in order to increase accessibility to our services by members of our communities, especially in the remote areas. 6 satellite offices have already been established in Mthatha in the Eastern Cape province, one in Bangi in the KZN province, Bethlehem in the Free Cape province, Rustenburg in the Northwest province, Upington in the Northern Cape province, and Twando in the Limpopo province. And in this current financial year, we had planned to establish 3 additional satellite offices. One in George here in the Western Cape, from the Bay Park in Gauteng, and Kwamhlanga in Mpumalanga, if our budget had not been cut, as the CHO will later. At least we'll be having one satellite office to go to first succeeded in opening the last 3 offices. Chairperson, all of the members, we have also planned to establish a call center to enable complainant to reach us by logging in complaint at any time of the day. Our second strategic priority is the restructuring of Program 3 in order to streamline its activities with those of Program 2. The restructuring will also assist our chapter to convert some identified employees within Program 3. Those employees who have got the necessary qualifications and experience with some skills. This would increase our investigation capacity. We have also, chairperson, evaluated their job to ensure that that restructuring is done on a scientific basis. And funding will therefore be needed to implement those requirements. Chairperson, the following three slides talks to the targets that we have set for ourselves, chairperson, regarding the main activities and key performances. Performance areas of each of the two programs. I'm not sure if I should waste the committee members' time by going through each one of them because I think they're self-explanatory. There are, of course, safe to say that there are, of course, a lot of challenges in meeting some of the targets. But there are always mitigating circumstances with such failures. Why such failures occur, and we always confront them robustly. So, chairperson, with your permission, I will now hand over to the CFO to take you through the budget and our funding proposal that will talk to those priorities that I've mentioned. CFO.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, the slides on page 11 give you an indication of the three policy options that we took to the Medium Term Expenditure Committee late last year, August. With regard to priorities for this current financial year. As the EDS indicated, we required an increase of ICD accessibility to open up 16 more satellite offices. Our first priority, also to enhance marketing of the ICD and upgrading the call center. Our second policy option was then the restructuring and the job evaluation process to implement that as well. Our third priority was funding the approved establishment term. Chairperson, initially a post structure of 535 posts was approved for the ICD. Up till now, we only received funding to fund 270 posts. So we were looking for that unfunded part of the structure to be granted to us. On the next slide, you can see the financial implications of the three policy options. The increased accessibility, 16 satellite offices we requested for this financial year, 21 million, and to improve marketing and open up a fully-fledged call center. The call center alone would have include a toll-free line, which will cost us approximately 2 million rand annum. So that was our first policy option. The second policy option is the restructuring, in which it would cost 10 million rand just to those identified staff members in the program C to be moved to program 2 to assist with the investigation of complaints. And then our third policy option was the unfunded part of our personnel structure that we wanted funded. It would cost 32 million for this financial year alone. Chairperson, well, the next slide gives you an indication of what we expected and what was advised to us during November last year. We were advised by the National Treasury that we would be receiving on the first row 118 million for this current financial year and furthermore. Now bear in mind that at that stage last year, the previous financial year, we had 100 million already. So it meant that with that advice of 118 million, we would be receiving 18 million, an additional 18 million. Later on in January this year, we were informed that our budget will be cut back with $3 million, and we would also only be receiving $114 million. As I've said, bear in mind that we already at that stage had $100 million for the year, for the previous financial year. So it was basically an increase of 14% of our budget. In the next slide, I give you an indication of what our budget was the previous financial year. There you can see for the 2008-09 we had a budget of $98 million, and we now receive for the current financial year $114 million. Chairperson, if you take into consideration that salary increases was almost 10%, you know all other expenditures also increased 10-12% per annum. Then if you then look at the third row, or the fourth column, you would see the provide you a percentage of the budgetary increase that we've received. You would see that, for example, our program 2, investigation of complaints, that is the component that is doing the mandate. They received only a 10% increase. So basically, they did not receive one extra round. They had to make do with what they had last year, except for the normal increases that was received. The small increase that we've now though received, that 17% increase, was mainly, number one, for Program 1. We have been receiving three qualified audit reports from the AG, Auditor General, and it is because of not successfully managing our assets. So we did not have an asset management unit. The previous year we were permitted $500,000 to start with the establishment of such a unit, and for this financial year we received another $500,000 to increase that capacity. So that was the first increase. And then in Program 3, we received for this year, Chairperson, $500,000 to start with the establishment of a call center. As I've said to you, it's not really assisting us much, except that we can start up the process. I also give you an indication on the slide how our post structure has increased. Chairperson, you would see that Program 1 with a 77. From the previous year, we've moved to 90. And then in Program 3, you can also see that increase, but Program 2 remains the same. Chairperson, the next two slides I've included just for your interest to see exactly what the budget was per office for the previous financial year, how it has increased, and I have also, on the first column, I indicate to you the expenditure up to now, how expenditure has been happening. And then the last two columns, you can also see how the various offices, how their staff have increased from the 1 year to the next year. Chairperson, my last slide, the challenges, I hand over to the ED to address that. But before he does, I would just like to take you back to, I listened with interest at the Secretariat's presentation where they got, they indicated to you, to the Honourable Committee, they have a staff complement of about 50 staff members, and they received for this year $12 million, more than $12 million around the budget. If you multiply that $12 million by 9, you get $108 million around. If you multiply the 50 by 9, you get 270. Exactly the number of staff members that we have, but also more bigger budget than the ICD. And then if you take into consideration the type of work that the ICD is doing versus what the National Secretariat is doing, we, for example, have to investigate every complaint that is received. They are more performing research and giving advice to the minister. You can already determine with these two offices that you have been listening to that there's something wrong somewhere, and it seems to be in our budget. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Indy.
Thank you. Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I just want to just ask the members if you can go back to the last slide, the one that you put to the show, to indicate to them why you have got the tools next to the name of the office. Where there are tools, we're indicating that that office has got a satellite office. So that line is also includes the money that has been set aside for the satellite office. That's why you've got those tools on the slide. Thank you, Chairperson. If I can run through the challenges as they appear on the last slide, Chairperson, the first challenge that we're having as the ICD is the vastness of the provinces. I think it's common knowledge to members of this committee that we only have a presence in the major cities. That's the reason why we're crying for funding to establish additional satellite offices in the far-flung areas of our provinces. And then that also has got impact on the traveling expenditure for our investigators. If, for instance, there's a death, say in Upington somewhere, before we had that office, our investigators had to travel from Kimberley. We were traveling 4 or 5 hours to a scene of death, and we cannot expect a corpse to be lying there for the whole day. So that is the biggest challenge that I have. That's the reason why we are crying for funding to be able to establish at least small offices so that whenever there are deaths that we must attend, we're able to be at least at the scene within a reasonable period of time. And the other thing is the inaccessibility of our offices. The ICD services become very expensive for our community because if a person must travel 2, 3, 4, 5 hours to come and report a case to the ICD. You're talking about vulnerable people in the far flung area. Where do they get the money? Just to come and report a case. And that's the reason why we're also talking of a call center, saying they don't have to travel that long. If they can, we have this call center, they'll be able to at least put in a call to say this was a attend. And then we'll be able to go and attend to those kinds of complaints. The second challenge, Chairperson and all the members, is the lack of funding for the structure. As the CFO has indicated, we have been wanting to restructure during the last 2 years, previous year, because we were also aware of the competing challenges that our government is facing in terms of priorities, not to mention the presence in economic crunch. Now, but then in terms of us coming up with the creative ways of beefing up the investigative capacity. We have got employees who are in the province three who have got similar qualifications as your investigators. But you know, people who apply for new positions, there's no jobs. And then we discover that these people can easily be converted into investigators. We can just upskill them anything. And then they become investigators because that's our core function. Now we want to have those people transferred from that province three to be investigators. Now you need funding to do that because when you do that, they start to qualify for things like your standby allowances, daily allowances, those kind of things. They also qualify for your subsidized vehicles because they must be running around the country. And so it's still a challenge. That's the reason why we don't need funding to be able to do that. The third bullet, Chairperson on the member, talks to a very, very old challenge. The unfunded structure of the ICD. When the ICD was established in 1997, a work study was conducted by DGSA. And then a recommendation that came from DGSA was that ICD should be allocated 535 positions to be able to operate. But as we speak today, 12 years after establishment, we only have 287 positions funded out of the 535. Now, members, can see that we're really having a constraint in terms of resources. To us, it doesn't matter anymore that the first 31st was recommended 12 years ago. Whatever we can get now, because in all honesty, it's more relevant, but whatever we can get to us doesn't mean a lot. Any one additional head count within the ICD will mean a lot. Now, the other challenge here is staff retention. We've got a staff retention strategy in place, like any other government department. But then it's very difficult to retain people in the ICD because of a number of reasons. One, the department is too small. And it's so small that people, we don't have senior positions to which people can be promoted. People are looking for career advancement in the department. You have people who are staying in positions for more than 4, 5, 6 years. Especially the new crop, they're not like me and you and everybody else who stay in a position for long, for many years without worrying. But the people that are, the young staff that are coming through, are not prepared to stay in position for more than 2, 3 years without getting a promotion. And besides, their performance agreements are heavy loaded because of the size of the department. We require them to do a lot of work. In one instance, we could even say that one person is required to do a job of 2, 3 people. I can give an example, just an example, a very recent one. We had a communication officer who was doing marketing in the ICT, and she was also doing internal communication. She was also doing external communication. Now, we've just lost her now, I think last month or so, to another government department where she's doing only internal communication for a salary higher than what we give her at ICT. Only one aspect of communication. So these are the kind of challenges that we're facing in terms of staff retention. To the extent that some would say, but your retention strategy is not working. Yes, I admit it's not working because you can have all kinds of motivational aspects in place. You give people bonuses when they've done well, you congratulate them, you do a team building, all those kind of things. But the bottom line is that people want to be remunerated. Satisfactory for the kind of job that I do. And people benchmark. I mean, they're looking at their peers in other government departments to say, but I'm doing the same job, well, doing more than what another person is doing in another department, but I'm getting more. So, chairperson, we will need to indicate to you that your assistance will be very crucial in terms of this issue. The other challenge is the increase in sub-capacity. I think it's common knowledge. I think the Secretary has also referred to it now. As of the end of March 2008-2009 financial year, the total SAP capacity was about 173,260 rounds. Now, as against only 82 investigators in the ICD national, we're not saying every cop is corrupt or is a criminal, but what we're saying is the increase in police numbers have got an effect, definitely, in terms of criminal activities, the cases that we receive, you know. So, and if you look at the police versus community or public ratio, it was something like 1:347 last year. But if you look at the ICD ratio, one investigator is a ratio to the police, is 1:1212. Now, that's a serious challenge. And we know, we've been told that there's going to be an increase in police numbers with about 10,000 or so. But then the ICD staff remains stagnant. We're not able to increase these numbers. Legislative lacuna is also a very serious challenge, chairperson and all the members. I can give an example to you. We make recommendations for this. Sub where we feel that a particular sub member has done wrong and he or she needs to be disciplined or something like that. Our recommendations remain, we don't have the power to enforce the implementation of such recommendations. Sub is not forced by any legislation to implement those recommendations. Now, but then what I was saying to our ordinary citizens, they think the ICD, that's the reason why we come across a lot of statements that ICD is toothless, those kind of things. Because we're not able to enforce the implementation of the recommendations that we make to SAP. SAP choose which ones to implement and which ones not to implement. But then I can report to this committee that we have come up with a draft legislation which is now in the hands of the minister. And that draft legislation seeks to cover or to address some of these issues to ensure that we become effective as the so-called watchdog of the police. We also have an issue with our database, the old database that was put together in 1997, around there, so we're looking at that as well as a challenge. I think I've spoken about I've turned over, particularly in program one. Knowledge transfer process is limited in capacity. What we're saying in program one as well, what we're saying is that program one is administration in many processes, except in the so-called light processes, like your housing processes and Western Cape. But in small provinces, like, for instance, in the Northern Cape, Now, we're using variables like the number of cases we're getting there, those kind of things. And now, what we have there in program one is that we only have one person in admin. And all of the members in the person, you need to understand that we're a government department like water affairs, like education. We are required to abide by every single legislation that government comes up, to abide by the public sector regulations, all those kind of things. One of the examples, because of very small, and we're a national department. Now, in that particular small office, you only have one person in administration. This person does finance, he does human resources, he does everything that you think should be done in administration. And that brings me to the last point, this lack of segregation of duties. For instance, in procurement, now the system they call it supply chain management. It's the regular, they have one person who's ordering, who's receiving those things, and who's also distributing those things, and keeping those things in the store, taking stock. I mean, so that's just open for fraud and those kind of things. And we have had a lot of audit queries to this regard to say, how on earth can you operate like that? You're not complying with the system. We're not complying with the PMA and those kind of things. But then what do you do if you only have one person in the process who must do all these kind of things? Now, we are saying then we need funding to beef up for the one in the process. And in some instances, it's also a question of rank. In terms of KFMA and other institutions, I think they say for no level about it. You need to be on a particular rank to be able to authorize certain amount of money. Now, if you don't have that kind of level, then it means whoever authorizes payment is doing it against the law. So, chairperson of the members, those are the major challenges of our agency. I'm just hoping that maybe around September someone will be coming to the guest again, but it's going to come and present our performance in the annual report. We'll be giving our performance strategy to the committee. I want to thank you.
Thank you very much, Tatibode. Honorable members, you can engage with the presentation. We have until 1:30 to do that. In this order, from honorable member to the thank you. Page on allocation per office for financial years. You have it, provinces. This subcommittee is a subcommittee of National Council of Provinces. In the main, its interest is provinces, provincial interest. I'm worried about the decline of allocation on two provinces, my friend's province and my province. Limpopo and Northern Cape. Limpopo and Northern Cape. 08, 09, Limpopo was 7.5. 9 and 10 is 7.0. It's a reduction. And therefore, we who are representing provinces who might not be doing well to represent provinces, maybe you can give us why the reduction. And Northern Cape, 6.5, huge reduction, 5. The next tribe. Okay, maybe you can transfer this money to where it is and remove it from Northern Cape. No, that was just, I just wanted to stay in and understand it.
Thank you, Chair. I think Municipal Baloyi.
Baloyi.
Ba.
Baloyi.
Ba. Ba.
Yeah.
Or the slide
is pronounced Ba.
Yeah. Or in Zenda.
Yeah. It's pronounced Ba.
Or Baloyi.
Yeah.
Ba. Okay, thanks, Municipal Baloyi. In fact, you closed me. I wanted to talk about, I thought that you would reflect on your performance and why I wanted to come on that panel. I was laughing at you present, but it was in appreciation of the good motivation that you are having to have more staff in terms of the responsibility that you have as a department or a unit. But I think it is important that as you do that, you link it to your performance, so that you are able to demonstrate that you can even perform better if you can have those particular positions. Because linking it to performance, you'll be able to justify why do you need more staff. Because somebody sitting somewhere can say, well, as far as we are concerned, you are performing well, there are no problems. In fact, there's no even need to get more staff because, and they might not know that other people have been overstressed. And I don't think at this particular level, personally, I wouldn't support anything that we encourage this thing of multitasking or flexibility, because to a certain extent, it is abuse of people. That's why departments lose these people to other departments. It is like in the example that you have made, where somebody was doing multitasking, but moving to another department in government, doing one, can even a better salary than the one you are doing. I think those are the good motivating facts, but you should really give it with the performance. I would appreciate to see your performance, so that when we engage the minister, which is something that we'll do, at least we can back up those facts. I am sure from your side you have started doing that. I'm also interested to know from yourself as to what are the difficulties in terms of the ministry to appoint, what has been there, because I want to believe that you have raised this thing with them over and over, but you are not getting to a health, you find it necessary to bring it here. And I can see that you are passionate about this. Almost 80% of your presentation you are talking about the resources in terms of human. It is good to support that, because we would want this. Slide. In terms of page 8 to 9, page 8 to 10, I just want to understand. When you talk about, let's take page 8 for an example. When you talk about achieving employment equity targets to reach 50% of women at senior management, blah, blah, blah. Where are you at the moment in terms of that? I would like to clarify that, because I think it's important that you know that if that is your target, where do you stand now, so that you can be able to, including the 2% target of people with disabilities, what is the percentage currently in terms of the entire stuff that you have? And all the rest going to page 10, if you can just, even if you don't talk to all of them, but just give an indication as to where you are in terms of those, I think it will be quite helpful. And I know that you're still going to give us a report on your performance at a particular point, but I think it will be important for me in light of the fact that we'll also be meeting the ministry next week, to know your success rate in terms of investigations of all the complaints that you have where you stand in terms of the effective statistics on that, if you are able to do it now, but where you are unable, I think you can.
Thank you, Chair. I heard the presenter say that no, as far as I think it might should satisfy the community that are saved because of police brutality in that manner. But he said recommendation remains a recommendation to the National Commissioner's Office. I think to assist this select committee is to have those statistics which have been sent in so that we could be able to see how many cases were recommended and they didn't comply about this thing. Thank you.
Louis? Thanks, Chair. I was trying to save you, but I couldn't keep quiet. No, Chair, the executive director is talking about what I would call migration of people. I don't know whether it's a promotion from program 3 to 2. I don't know what slide is it, but I'm sure you will find it. And he emphasizes the resources. The question is it about trying to giving them some better positions now that there is no mobility, no upward mobility within the structure within the establishment as such, or is to do with the level of development of them, giving better capacity, or that they now have better capacity to handle investigation. Related to that, Chair, is a question of how the composition of the people. Are these people who are qualified as police, or who are qualified as police, or is people who are lawyers by qualification in terms of the qualifications that are working particularly with the investigations? Are they using lawyers, or they're using people who've done criminology or that kind of, or people that have been with the force, or what and then what kind of training? I know if we are to get more people, what kind of people will be attracting? And then the question I've always had, I would always have heard about ICD, but I know he says there's a program where they are trying to roll out into provinces or into some towns in provinces. In Bangan, you mentioned in Upington and Rustenburg and others. Besides that, what's the communication strategy or the complaints, the access to placing a complaint by the communities? Is it that you still go to the police station to place in my constituency, which is bordering Lesotho, for instance, between Hawick and Lesotho, in Bentley? What do the people there do? Would they go to the police station, or they would have to travel to Durban or Pietermaritzburg, for instance, 80 rand, 90 rand, a single trip to go and place a complaint about a police who harassed or assaulted a person or something like that? If you could try to say what could be the current, or what is an ideal situation, perhaps, so that it helps us to put pressure where it matters. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, Chairperson, no, mine is a comment, it's not a... You know, it's very much disturbing, Chairperson, to hear the CFO is saying, and I want to agree with what the CFO... You see, the Secretariat is not having the same job as the ICD, but their budget is bigger than the ICD. So it's a very serious concern to me. You know, I am saying, you know, when we are putting up structures and not use those structures, we are wasting taxpayers' money. Why not closing down a structure if we can't use the structure? And according to me, this is one of the critical structures that we must have, like the independent judge, what is it again, the correctional service issue, I forgot now, inspecting judge. This was set up because there was a lot of problems with assaults and whatever. Now, you see, a complaint is also coming up that the police are not implementing the recommendation. Mm-hmm. I am saying that we, as this committee, when the minister comes on Tuesday, I'm very much happy that people were so frank and so open and what. We must ask this type of questions so that we must get the answer from the ministry to say, but we are wasting taxpayers' money to go to drive from Upington or from Pretoria to Upington to go and investigate a case there. And after the recommendation, the recommendation is not been implemented. So I'm saying this is a very serious issue, Chairperson, and we must take it up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am very worried about the budget on the Northern Cape. You know, you're a bit contradicting. So if we say that we have got we've got this vast, big place in the Northern Cape, and distances people must go to Corps 5 hours. Now, isn't that specifically where we actually should increase budget and get more people in these specific areas? So why the big deduction instead of an increase in a budget where we actually need people where the distances are so far? It's just very contradictive to me at this stage. Why do you actually decrease the budget in such situations, and you're actually saying to us that you need people there, but the budget says the opposite?
In the situation where your investigation says that a certain policeman has to be apprehended, who does the apprehending? And the second question will be, you have made mention of the vastness of the area as the impediment towards you doing your work properly. Do you have access to, for instance, the police helicopter? You know why I'm raising that question? A suspect was shot and killed in Bethlehem, and they have to wait for members of ICD from Bloemfontein to Bethlehem, exactly as you have mentioned. Do you have access to resources in the SAT that will make your job easy? You can respond to the question now.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Members. I will request my colleague, the program manager, to deal with the questions that relate to their problem. But then the one issue that I can talk to is there was a question whether there are difficulties from the ministry in terms of supporting us as the ICT. Chairperson, I won't be saying there are like problems that we're experiencing in terms of the minister supporting us. I think if we look at the strategic plan, the sort of commitment when the minister came into office last, I think it was October, something like that. Yeah, he wrapped me in. He called the ICD management to the office, wanting to understand what we're doing, and committed himself to supporting us definitely. And I must be honest that we were seeing that kind of support from the minister. Even now recently, I think some of the members might have seen him on the Askuruma, something like that, where he also committed himself to try and assist and beef up the ICD, to support the ICD. So we're hoping that definitely there will be that kind of support. So we that is what I can say about it. The linking of staff complement with performance, I really agree with the honourable member. We have got a full presentation, and we've got a couple of it here, I'm not very sure, but then because that is performance is something that we thought may not talk to what we're going to come and do here, but we've got a full presentation that talks about performance, you know, in every process, how far has been gone in terms of investigating all the cases, our successes, the number of cases we've received in a particular financial year, where are we now, those kind of things. We've got a full presentation which you can easily make available to members. I think even in the next week or two, we can even email it for this, even today or tomorrow, to members, so you'll be having that kind of information. Can I then request the program managers to respond to those questions that relate to the program? Issues of achieving EE 50%, those kind of things.
Thanks, Chairperson, honourable members. In terms of issues relating to achieving equity targets, what I could be able to respond now is the fact that if at top management currently we have two males and two females, if you look at it, it's as if we are achieving equity in that regard, because the cabinet directive indicates that there should be 50-50 split between males and females. But if you look at the whole management of the ICD currently, out of the 17 positions at management level, 5 are women and 12 are males. So it tells you somehow that we are not really in terms of that 50-50 split. And most of those females, for instance, in the provinces, we only have a female in Gauteng and a female in KwaZulu-Natal. And the rest of the provinces are actually headed by males. And those are the things, the challenges in terms of us meeting those things. Simply meaning that when posts are actually opening up, we should really consider actually appointing females to those particular positions. And in terms of disability, because in the terms of the slides, we're indicating that the 2% in terms of disability. We currently having two permanent staff who are disabled. One is at the deputy director level, one is at the clerk level. And we further even went to appoint interns. We have got about two interns who are disabled, who are able to assist us in terms of that regard. We know that there are challenges in terms of that, but we're trying by all means that whenever we advertise, we also avail adverts to the centers that deals with disability, because when you do it generally, it's not actually reaching the people that it's supposed to be reaching. And we are trying everything in our power to address that particular issue. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Can I request Mr. Chavalala to deal with those questions that relate to program issues?
Thanks, Chair. The one question relating to how people lay complaints, people don't have to go to the police station to lay complaints. The only way that complaints can be reported to us is, in person, if people come to our offices, and as you've indicated, in the out of the 9 provinces, only 6 of them have got satellite offices. So in the other 3, for instance, Western Cape, Gauteng, and Mpumalanga, they will have to go to our main office to report those complaints. Otherwise, they also have an option of reporting a complaint via, you know, in writing, that is sending a letter or a fax. But I think the EDS indicated that one of the ideal situations, as now responding to the second part of that particular question, would be to increase access, to ensure that the, you know, people have an opportunity to report a complaint closest to their areas. At this point in time, we've identified 22 areas or centers which we think would at least increase accessibility. And it's not only from the side of the complainant, but also from us as the ICD to be able to respond timely and to, you know, reduce the turnaround time in terms of investigating a complaint. To give an example, if you have to work the whole province, I mean, as is the case in Mpumalanga or Western Cape, the most of the time that you have to spend, our investigator has to spend, is spent on traveling. And that is does not only talk to time, but it also talks to the expenditure that has to be incurred. Because if the case, for instance, is in George, inevitably it means you have to have an investigator that has to be booked in an accommodation and has to travel, stay away from home for more than 3 days or so, in order for that person, for that investigation to be finalized. Now, those are the challenges that would better be addressed if access is then improved, because of you then have to be covering a larger area. At least we'll have to reduce that distance. I think we've seen, for instance, to give an example, in the Eastern Cape. If you look at Mthatha, we have our main office in King Lansdowne, which is now relocated to East London. We have a satellite office in Mthatha. Just after a year of establishing that particular office, the number of complaints that we're receiving in that particular satellite office have increased. So that shows that, with access, if you bring the services closer to the community, community members are able to access the services, and at least it is far better. I mean, in terms of, they don't have to be digging deep in their pockets to be able to access this services. Chair, from your side, you ask if in instances where we have to effect an arrest, who has to do that? We have the powers as the ICD to effect the arrest on our own, but in the majority of times, what we do, Chairperson, we have would communicate to the station commander that we have a case against a particular member, and for instance, either we have a warrant of arrest to arrest that particular member, or even without a warrant, we need to arrest this particular member for whatever reasons, you know, for the case that we're investigating. And we can request the station commander to assist us to effect the arrest. So the police, in terms of the cooperation, they are, you know, that is, in terms of the legislation, they are expected to render assistance to the ICD to ensure that we are able to effectively undertake our mandate. So in some cases, the police have had to effect the arrest on our behalf. Your other question was with regards to access to resources in general. Look, we don't have access to the police's helicopter at all. And, I mean, it's not something that we have actually even dreamt of engaging the police about or on. However, in terms of other resources, there are other resources that we cannot, for instance, own. I mean, there's forensic science laboratory. We depend entirely on the police in terms of the exhibits that would pick up from the crime scene would have to be taken to the forensic science laboratory of the South African Police Services. We have had cooperation in that area. Of course, we have to queue the same way as members of the police have to queue. You know, there isn't an issue of preference because of where the ICD, except in instances, for instance, where, you know, it's a case of a high-profile nature, and there is that pressure that case needs to be finalized. We can, with the intervention of the National Prosecuting Authority, for instance, take a letter to say, if for instance it's a rape case, to say, finalize this as a matter of agency because of the pressure that we're facing, and we have received cooperation in that instance. The question relating to the why we need to do the restructuring, it's precisely for to assist us as the program two, as the core business of the ICD, you know, which is investigation, because we have identified that there are the individuals who are in program three, have got the qualifications. For instance, you know, they've got diplomas in policing or they've got law qualifications, and more often than not, they have also had consultations and are able to take statements from, you know, from complainants or witnesses in the offices. And in terms of beefing up the program investigation, we have identified these people as being the ideal persons to beef up the investigation program. And I mean, this will be done with a, you know, with a minimal amount of work. All that needs to be done is to give them further training. For instance, and what we have done is we've received learnership from CITA. CITA has given us an amount to the tune of R1 million. Currently, this program three personnel are undergoing a learnership program, you know, which is going to run for the next 9 months, where they go in for instance, for 2 weeks on a full-time basis on three occasions and come back, be exposed to work in the office, as, you know, as some kind of an in-service training. So by the end of January next year, 2010, this personnel who are in program three would be fully fledged investigators, because they would have been skilled, and they would have also been exposed to investigation, especially at an elementary level. These are the people that we want to be should then be translated into being investigators. That's why for us, one of the key priorities is that of ensuring that the restructuring program is funded, because unfortunately, if you translate them into investigators, then it means that they are entitled to the benefits that the investigators that are currently in program two are entitled to, and that means some kind of monetary compensation in terms of standby allowances, in terms of danger allowances, and so forth and so forth. But for us, it will assist us in terms of increasing our investigative capacity, which is a critical area. In terms of the skills that we require for our investigators, we currently have an array of skills. You know, people coming from the police with investigative experience. We have some coming from the prosecution, and some who have just studied law and have been legal advisors or were lawyers. Who have come and joined us, who have joined the organization. So you have sort of a mix of skills, who actually which then complement each other, as these guys from time to time who do work as a team and so forth. I think the final question related to the issue of recommendations. Yes. I think to answer the honourable member, perhaps it will be good to, perhaps the report that the EDS has spoken about will actually be in a position to answer that, to say, these are the recommendations that we've made to the police, and this is the you know, the response that we have received from police management. Thank you, Chair. I think I've covered all the questions. No, so the FAPO is going to deal with that. She can deal with the budget.
A follow-up from another member.
Thank you, Chair. I heard Mr. Shawarala say that the office from Pingley Wamster was removed to East London. That is the problem which we're having, that now you find that the ICD is only situated in big town. Is there any reason of doing that?
Okay. Chair, yes. We fully acknowledge the fact that the Parliament has raised the issue of our location. King William's Town has an acute shortage of space. The office that we've been occupying, we occupied it since inception or since establishing in that particular province in King William's Town. you know that we procure, we use the public works department to procure offices, office space. We've advertised, I think we would have moved almost 2 years ago. But after several attempts, you know, bids being advertised for office space for our office, there was nothing that could be identified. The only space that was identified was in East London itself. However, in fact, we were also informed that the East London, in fact, is a central place for communities to do their shopping in East London from various areas, and that although you look at the provincial government being located in King Leonstone, in Bishop, for instance. However, I mean, you still have a lot of activities or movement centering around East London. So that is the reason why we found ourselves having to, you know, settle for an office in East London. Thanks, Chair.
If I can add on that, Chair, it was not even an office in King, it was a house. We were using a house in Kingdom Town. Now, as the years went by, we've been growing very, very gradually. See, I think in terms of the numbers there, we're now at 20. So when we started, we were about 10 or so, 8, 10 around there. We were 6 when we started in that house. So as we gradually grew, we could not fit into that house. Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, Chair. To answer the question on the decrease of allocation to Northern Cape and Limpopo, I would like to take you, I've also opened up the slide. I just want to take you back to the previous financial year when, for example, Northern Cape received 6 million. Included in that 6 million was the opening up of an office in Mafeking. In Upington. To open up the office, it was not only the compensation of the 4 staff members that we have to budget for, but also for the procurement of furniture, okay, the installation of telephones, of a network system for computers. So that initial establishment of an office, we had to cater for that. This year, we have now paid off that asset and the installation. Therefore, we could decrease that budget a little. In terms of also, I want to mention Northern Cape also moved last year from the provincial offices building to just two blocks away in Kimberley. I'm not sure exactly what is that street, where they are. That relocation we had also to cater for last year, as well as also the reinstallation of the network system and the telephone system. So that is why Northern Cape received a bigger budget last year than this year. The same applies to Limpopo. They also had to open up a satellite office last year for us in Toyando. And that, although Toyando has opened up, there's still problems in terms of the accommodation itself. We have to, and that is a requirement put forward from Public Works, although they would finance or look for accommodation, we, for the first 3 years of acquiring new accommodation, such a department must budget and fund that new accommodation itself. And in this case, we are still waiting for the refurbishment of the Toyando office to be finalized before we can make the final payment. So we have to carry over or make provision for in this financial year too for that accommodation, for the refurbishment part. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Mr. G. Just a follow-up. Jung, I'm gonna just say this in Afrikaans because I don't think it's very well by saying it, but it lijkt nog steeds die Noordkaap sy van die achterspeer. Want as ek kyk, dit is die, by far die klein, it's the smallest budget of all, and I mean, we've got the vastest areas, you know, and to me it's really a problem. I mean, it's not that I'm trying to be funny about it, but I really believe with the vast distances that it should be looked at. I really believe that is a problem in the Northern Cape, and yes, that is a real concern to me.
Thank you.
That is not it, Honorable Member. Honorable Bloom, I think you are the last.
Thanks, Chair. But I think that the budget to address his problem, the overall budget must be increased so that they must have funds to spread.
But Chairperson, my last comment is that on the assistance from the police. Personally, myself, I don't expect that the police must assist the independent complaints direct, independent complaints directorate. If you are going to investigate a crime scene and yes, a police helicopter landing there, the people will say you are not independent. You are part and parcel of the police.
And just perhaps on a lighter note, because we need to increase the budget as well, is I wanted to investigate that late tackle yesterday in the last 2-3 minutes. I believe that was, I really don't believe that was so bad. We could have drawn that game.
Honorable members, this brings us to the end of our meeting. Let me take the opportunity to thank Natibalo and his team and assure him that the concerns he has raised will also bring them to the attention of the ministry when we meet. And we hope that you will give us the document you have come to give. Thanks very much for your release. Honorable members, the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you very much.
Anybody from
Thank you.